Hey everyone, before we get into it today, if you've ever thought about starting your own podcast or taking your current one to the next level, you have to check out Podigy Podcast. They didn't just help us launch this show, which we need a lot of help with. They made it look and sound amazing with custom artwork, killer music, and they guided us through the launching of the show step by step. Now they handle everything for us, editing, producing, you name it. All we do is hit record and they do the rest. Trust me. If you're serious about podcasting, you need them in your corner. Click the link in the show notes to schedule a free one-on-one podcast game plan session with them. You won't be sorry. Welcome to The Path Podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True Path Consulting, where our mission is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and true success. I want to thank you for pressing play on whatever device you're listening to us on today. It means a lot to us that you are here. Our hope is that through our stories and interviews, you will find something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious, and possibly something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, the goal of our podcast and in our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without needing the motivation of that personal or professional crisis. We'll bring up topics and curate discussions that will help you take action to find out how you are showing up in the roles that are or should be a priority in your life, ultimately helping you paint the picture of who you want to be and walking with you to figure out what the heck is getting in your way from becoming your ideal self. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable and instead be more intentional and following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally welcome my partners that are going on this journey with us. Mr. Toby Quinton, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good, man. Good to see you guys. I reached a milestone accomplishment with my wife and I's conversations today about she never thought she'd ever hear out of my mouth that I golfed too much this weekend.
Wow.
And so I want to bring it to you two first and everyone else that's listening that actually is something that
thing.
She thought she'd never hear me say ever. So I did. But yeah, but
did you play well?
Well, when you golf too much, the answer to that statement is little did all right. And then did some, I don't know who the other guy was that showed up with me during that outing. So anyway, but it was good though. And it was good. So, but I'm excited, as always, to spend some time with you guys around the topics that we're picking, but it's good to see you guys.
This is what you get Toby off a golf trip outing, and this is what you get depressed golfing Toby.
First world problems. First world problems too. So let's put that out there. Like poor guy. He golfed a lot this weekend, but I'm tired.
Good to have you back, buddy. Stu, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm good. Hey, just to be clear, and my wife knows this, I've golfed too much already in my life. So I've never fallen into the trap of on one event golfing too much. I know my whole life I've golfed too much. Well, these walk-ins, I usually don't have anything. So I intentionally prepared today. So both you guys, you should sit back.
Wow. Let's go.
So I'd like to recite a poem that I wrote.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, what? You lost me that I wrote.
I wrote you a poem. No, actually, my takeaway from this weekend, I had an awesome weekend filled with friends and family, and it was great. And I had to remind myself that these are the days I used to dream about. That I was actually living what I had always admired in others. You know, I had some social interactions. I had some really, really powerful one-on-one time with my wife and conversations. And it was just, you know, I had to kind of, you know, it's so easy to kind of look at where you are today and visualize this future self and this future. And I was actually living my future self this weekend. So it was a cool epiphany, a cool moment of just kind of being where my feet are and realizing it. So it was a good
that's
weekend.
You, man. That's awesome, man. Yeah, look at you. Wow, that's powerful. That's
a way to show the rest of us up. Yeah, yeah. Good luck, Chris, with your check-in.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you
close? Wah, wah, wah.
And then Chris Weiss.
I have no poetry. I didn't golf too much. I just had, I mowed my lawn. I did sit out. I started a fire out back and I actually took a nap on my outside. It was a little kind of overcast and that was a dream come true. So I took a 2-hour nap with that. That was probably my highlight of the weekend. Although I just had a great weekend. I was just around family. I was home, got to golf a little bit, got to do some social stuff like you. So we had a fundraiser for our soccer association. That's just fun seeing people in the township dressed up and having drinks, and we did a gambling type of thing. So that was a lot of fun. Usually you see them in hoodies and, you know, flip flops at the soccer game. So it's nice to get dressed up. That's me usually, but yeah. So it was a good weekend. Good weekend. For those listeners, we usually record these on Mondays, so we have a good chance to check in with one another on the weekends. But with that being said, let's turn it into the kind of the walk-in. Stu, you have something that you're going to walk in today.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, over the last couple of months, we've been recording and really talking about this concept of groundedness and really, you know, what are some of the components of what that means? And one of the, two of the things that I think are really pivotal in redefining self and certainly getting yourself back on track if we ever fall off our path is understanding resilience and adaptability and understanding those two components and how important they are around mindset and also environment, right? In a lot of ways. And so what I thought we would do is just talk about how in the moments of change or in the moments of adversity, how those two, certainly those two components kind of start to filter in and impact how we successfully navigate those changes or navigate the adversity in front of us. So, you know, for me, and I'll just get the conversation started a little bit. You know, I really had looked at those two through two lenses, and one being the idea of adaptability really being housed in how someone's mindset. You know, if you, you know, we've talked about mindset quite a bit on this podcast, but you can imagine if you're open or closed, it will impact the way you adapt. Right. If I have a closed mindset, I'm probably not that flexible and I'm not that interested in adapting to a new environment. But when I have an open mindset, I'm probably much more curious, much more interested in how that would play out. And more importantly, how I can be involved with it. And the same thing kind of goes with resilience. It's like depending on the environment, resilience becomes an incredibly important piece of the puzzle. You know, I have been really resilient in the wrong environments, you know, where I've overcome the environment was the wrong environment, but yet I was highly resilient. You know, I kept overcoming obstacles. Whereas in the right environment, overcome and producing a ton of resilience can actually produce results, positive results. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I know we all three of us look at these two words in probably different lenses or different angles, but no matter what, I think for me as a human to get grounded in who I am and where I'm going, I have to be prepared to deploy resilience, and I have to be prepared to meet certainly any kind of challenges or adversity with the adaptive mindset around openness and adaptability around change. So, Chris, I'm just curious, what are you thinking when you think about resilience and adaptability?
Yeah, good start. We, you know, we're building a program. Little plug here for, we're building a 6-month program, coaching program around groundedness, really, for executive men. And one of the tenets is resilience and adaptability. And in doing the research for this, Toby actually brought some of this stuff up, and there's different dimensions of resilience. And this is where it was like super eye-opening to me, right? When you start to break down the different dimensions of resilience, and there's, you know, emotional resilience, which I sucked at. Tobe can attest to that, right? Like that's where a lot of my work was focused on growing up and in corporate America. Now I feel like I'm finally at a good place there when I start to really assess myself. And those people going through our program will have to kind of assess themselves. And then there's some coaching attached to it and so on and so forth. There's a physical resilience, right? Your overall health, wellness, fitness. I focus on that a lot through growing up my career, through growing up in soccer and things like that. That alleviated a lot of my stress and gave me a lot of confidence. So then when those moments did show up, Stu, like you were talking about, I was able to be resilient to things because I was confident in that space. There's mental and cognitive resilience, right? Your ability to think clearly and focus. We actually just had a call before this and we were talking about all the shit that we have to do to build this company. And these two could see the stress on my face and me ready to go jump out my window because it's a lot, you know, it's just a lot. And in that moment, I probably did not show very good mental or cognitive resilience. But now I got, you know, we had a great conversation. I listened to everything we had to say. I got a plan. And this week I'm going to get to work. And that shows me like that 5 years ago, that conversation probably would have sidelined me for a little while until I got organized and was resilient enough to get organized and get shit done.
Chris, real quick, why would it have sideswiped you a few years ago?
I think I'm just like, I know I can do it. I have the faith that I know I can do it now. You know what I mean? And more importantly, probably most importantly, I want to do it. Like, this is something we joked about that too, right? This is the shit we want to be doing. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a lot and it's stressful. But once I got my to-do sheet done and I'm putting some stuff in the mirror, like now I'm excited to do it because the end result is something that it's tied to my purpose and passion in life and my values in life. So that helps, right? That helps me become more resilient when your purpose and your values are attached to it. There's social resilience, right? The strength of your relationships and support systems, which I feel like are really strong for me now. There's financial resilience. Which is, that's an interesting one now as we're building a new company. And I just, you know, retired from a 25 year cushy job and cushy paycheck and stuff. And now it's like, okay, let's go find some clients. Let's go do this. So that one's been tested. And then you get into adaptability and purpose and meaning. So my point in understanding these dimensions, like, then you could start to really analyze what areas you're good at and where you're not and where you need effort and where you need instruction and where you need guidance and coaching and so on and so forth. So I never, before building out this class with you guys in this program, I never really understood those different dimensions of it. And when I look back and I look at like let's say the last 10 years of my career, like the emotional resilience, I was such an imposter in my role the last 10 years because it was kind of like I got there. Like I got to where I always wanted to be. But inside I was such an imposter that when anybody gave me feedback or anybody like said it, like it triggered me and it threw me off track because I was so worried of being found out, if you will. And it wasn't attached to my values and my purpose. So like, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that dimension of it, even though we worked on it. We worked on my overall emotional composure and how it was showing up in meetings and stuff. But this was just a dot connected to me. When you start to break down those facets, those dimensions of resilience, it just made a lot of sense to me. And it was consumable to me now, which was pretty cool. And we look forward to talking to people about this in our programming too. But yeah, that's my two cents on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love, Stu, how you, and Chris, that was great. So thanks for walking through those ingredients, if you will, of the different, you know, resilience is just the big tagline, but there's a lot of just components to it, which I think you outlined well. And I think, Stu, what you said about mindset, you know, that it really is a mindset, I think. When those two words are in play, your adaptability, your resilience, how we interpret what is the road in front of us and what we need to adapt to and what we need to be resilient of, mindset really goes hand in hand with it, doesn't it? On how successful we'll be or not. When I look at adaptability and resilience, you know, I always like to kind of, for me, I need to break them down a little bit. So adaptability for me is a lot about how we handle things like change, learning new things, and uncertainty in our lives. So for me, it's that when these things come upon us, the adaptability to me and how someone is either really gifted in this area or not is when that stuff happens and how do they handle it. And then for me, resilience is around that, you know, coping with it, you know, and then recovering from it is what I wrote down there. So, you know, the coping is interesting because I think that, you know, when I think of resilience, coping and recovering, to me, it's a lot of the process. You start with being adaptable, and then your resilience shows up over time and throughout lives and whatnot. And, you know, I think a lot of people are very resilient. The thing that comes up for me, though, a lot in the work that I do individually, and I know that you guys do as well, is that surviving versus thriving type of thing. You know, I think that there's a lot of resilience in surviving. And I think that I really applaud a lot of people, and I'm pretty in awe with people that have like survived their life, you know, survived their upbringing, survived these circumstances that went on, survived tragic loss, survived kind of going through some of those emotions. But really they are going through the motions of like a career that that just isn't fulfilling and you're not getting a lot of. I can be proud of that because I think there's some honorable traits to that, but there's another part of that. You know, the other side of it is, how do I recover from it? How do I thrive from it? How do I grow into a space where no one signed up to survive, even though it's admirable that you do, but to really thrive in your life? That's part of resilience as well. And Chris, those things that you brought up, the emotional piece, the mental piece, the social piece, you know, those are all those that through good coaching and through really, you know, vulnerability and really having an ideal state, you really can thrive into your life and mm-hmm. and be resilient. And so that's when you were talking about these topics, Stu, those are the couple things that came up for me is what's adaptability versus resilience? How do they interchange? Because they do. You know, one's maybe an inside and one's more of an outside. Resilience kind of shows up in the outside, and adaptability is something that we all handle change differently. We all handle learning new things differently or uncertain times. Some of us are really the duck on the water and no one knows that we're really stressed. And some have a good methodology about how they adapt through different things in their lives. So those are the things for me when you brought up this topic that showed up.
You know, resilient to what cause, right, is what resonates with me is like, you know, I think all of us innately have the ability to be resilient in the face of challenge, in the face of hardship. You know, I think there's that gene, or at least that connection of wanting to solve whatever the dynamic is in front of you. But I come down, you know, I think about the right environments to show resilience, and where that lands for me is around some of the expectations that are placed on us, right? And understanding our values, our standards, and our boundaries. I think where I see resilience become a negative, you know, is when people are fighting to stay in a place that they shouldn't be. I want to say that again. We're fighting to be in a place that we shouldn't be. And I think, but yet we chalk it up as being mentally tough. We chalk it up as being tough. We are, you know, we're thick skinned. We can overcome. But are we in the right rooms? You know, is this the right room to be resilient in? And I bring that up because I think when you get to the next part of it, which is adaptability, that mindset being the thread that you pull through, if you're in the right room, odds are you will have the right mindset. And so understanding that openness and how we walk into challenge is really, to me, mission critical. And so the combination of understanding the environment we're in, because look, I can be resilient with people that I can take on hard things for people that would never value my thriving in that moment. Does that make sense? Like there are times for us to be resilient for ourselves. There, going back to the things that you talked about, Chris, like the emotional resilience, the social, and certainly the financial, those moments are at some extent for our well-being and the people that we love. It's those other rooms that we find ourselves in where we feel a tremendous amount of pressure. And I see a lot of men and women in situations that probably are not right for them. And they continue to push themselves above and beyond. My point is, I think awareness of going back to those grounding behaviors of understanding one's values, understanding one's standards, making sure that we're clear on the boundaries that we've set for our life. Resilience could look very differently in those rooms when those things are well defined. Does that make sense? That land with you guys?
Yeah, I did it, bud. Right. I mean, you saw me. I mean, I was on a plane every week. Like yep. Trying to be resilient in the rollouts and trying to overwork and kind of like fake it. Right. And again, I don't know if I give myself enough credit. Like I liked a lot. Yeah, I liked a lot of part of my job. I actually loved a lot of part of my job. I just inside, it just wasn't who I wanted to be anymore. You know what I mean? I just got to a point where I love the people I worked with. I loved, you know, but the traveling and everything, a lot of that was for me to look busy and to be resilient in the role I was in, even though like deep inside, I knew this wasn't necessarily for me anymore. And then when you fast forward to where I am now, like there's no, you know, faking it. There's no, you know, trying to work hard and trying to do things and be resilient in a space where I don't need to be. Like, I actually enjoy what I'm doing right now. So even when the hard stuff comes up, it doesn't sideline me because I jump right into it. And I'm, yeah, you know, and I'm my true self when I'm into it. So yeah, I mean, I lived it.
Yeah, I wonder too. I think, Stu, that's a great point you're making on that. And when I think of the resilience side of that, Chris and Stu, when you guys are talking, I, you know, miserably comfortable comes up for me a little bit, you know, like I sit and think how I said it as I opened this up of like honorable it is to kind of cope through life, if you will, and survive through it. But boy, there's such a better, you know, option for us. And, you know, whether it's our habits or whether it's, you know, the male role modeling type of thing. And I hate to just use males, but like us men on this call, like what we're supposed to survive and do because it's the right thing to do, which I do. I'm not here to say it isn't, but where resilience comes up is, you know, are we taking care of ourselves along the way? Are we going to be, you know, built to last in all of this? You know, there's a lot of real tough on the exterior people that are you and I, we all know, and me included for sure, is that, you know, sometimes that change and everything else coming at me gets the better of me. I get overwhelmed and these are things that I just don't do, you know, hadn't done and don't do well enough consistently at times in my life of just paying attention to that. What are the deposits that I need in order to be strong enough to move from a point of survival? I know I keep using those words, but just really to be resilient, I think it's a full rounded kind of a process, if you will. Would you agree, Stu?
Oh, yeah. I just keep coming back to that. The thought of when we speak our resilience to our audiences, like when I feel the need to tell someone, I had my buddy over Friday night and he's in construction. And so his idea of resilience and overcoming is very physical. Like it's the hours of his day. It's the, you know, what he was able to solve, you know, massive machinery moving it. And I said, yeah, man, you know, he's blown away by the fact that we would travel 40 to 42 weeks out of a year. Like to him, that's, you know, we're overcoming massive adversity, right? He could never get into a plane, you know, four or five times a year, let alone 40 to 41 weeks. But I say this because when we're using those things as validation of effort or validation of belonging, when we have to, you know, when that surviving mindset becomes so apparent and we're hanging our hat on resilience, I just think that's a moment to take a time out, to take a pause and really look back and say, what am I resilient about? Am I resilient about the job that's being asked in front of me? Am I resilient about the, you know, the relationship challenge I have with my wife? Or am I doing something that I'm miserably comfortably doing and I'm afraid to truly talk about that, right? But yet I have everyone's admiration because I can pull my boots up by the bootstrap and I can get back on the horse every single week. But at some point, how is that helping or hurting me as a human? And how is that bringing me closer or further away from my ideal self? That's just what keeps, when I think of resilience, I can't think of how many times, I can't tell you how many times that I've overcome the challenge, but I overcame the challenge and didn't gain a reward. In fact, more than anything, I just gained another challenge to overcome and another one and another one. And it was like, I'm getting really good at being resilient. Or am I just signing up for something that's ludicrous and crazy?
Yeah, and it came at a cost to you, Stu. I mean, you know, I get to watch front and center the two of you, yep, really, to in my opinion, really honor resilience as a kind of a, it's not necessarily a value. Maybe it is a value for some, right? But like the value of resilience, like I watched the two of you do things that were out of the norm, I think, for some, you know, like you guys were doing things that were, you probably wouldn't have done 10 years ago. And to me, that's the component of that recovery piece, of that taking care of yourself along the way piece. And you talk about burnout, right? Like to me, a lot about, you know, I think a lot of people, again, you know, they can, oh, I'll get through it. I'll just keep doing it. And then they get to this point where they collapse physically or mentally. They have those moments of great anxiety or just complete fatigue, emotional fatigue. And to me, again, that's the practice of resiliency. Like, can you find it within yourself to then take care of yourself inside and out? And I watched you both do it. So Chris, I'm curious about from your end, you know, just some of the things that you did for yourself. And I got to watch you do it. I got you to lean in on that. Same with you, Stu. And it was really, really cool to see you guys. And it had a lot to do with a lot of different things like new habits and new belief systems and all of those things that we all talk about quite a bit. So I'm just curious from your lens, you know, your experiences with it. And I know it's, you know, me putting you on the spot, but that's what I got to see when I saw you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's you know, I probably over when you look at the different dimensions, like I really focused on physical and resilient, right? Like my eating, you know, I'm plant-based and that helped me. I saw my dad go through, you know, a triple bypass and his carotid artery was 98% blocked, you know? So I saw it and I knew I didn't want to end up like that for my family. So I changed my focus and I really focused on my physical resilience and seeing that, not wanting that to happen to me. And when you think about resilience, resilience is about how you cope and recover from life's challenges, right? Like that's what we're going to teach in the program, the class that we're going to do. Like, how do you recover from seeing your dad laying on a bed, like almost dead at 52 years old? And that's not far from where I am. Like, how do you recover from? Yeah. Right. How do you recover from that? And now it's like, well, you know, I'll never get that picture out of my head, by the way. Right. But what it allowed me to do is focus on my health and my well-being. So I wasn't that person for my kids. Right. I just had a newborn, Aiden, at the time, you know, and I went and saw him and I made some life changes. So I focused on that. Where I didn't is that emotional, like I talked about before, Tobe. That's where you helped me out a lot. Right. And how I was showing up and why I was feeling so attacked when I get feedback. Like, why, where was that feeling of being attacked when you were in that executive room or when you got that feedback, or where's that coming from? And that's the work that we did. Right. So, I mean, it was coming from abandonment. It was coming from just my upbringing, just and the shit that I never dealt with in my life. And we got to work, right? I actually went and saw a therapist several times throughout that relationship too, based on your feedback. And that helped a tremendous amount. But the underlying principle was for me, I needed a change in my life. I just needed a change. I was just burnt out. I was on a plane all the time. I think it comes to a point where no matter what I did to cope, I was never going to be whole unless I saw that change, right? Unless I did that change for me. That's just my story. I'm in the role I'm in now and I'm excited to do what I get to do because I don't think that's for everybody. I think you can be an unbelievably healthy executive or whatever role you play in this life and be an unbelievable great father, mother, insert role, right? Like, I think you can have it all, but you got to break these things down. Like, where is the pain showing up? Where are you not able to cope when things show up in your life, right? Where does life completely just sideswipe you and take you out for days, weeks, months, even longer, right? Like, and let's get busy focusing on that. And Toe, but again, I give you a lot of props in this podcast. It's one of the reasons I'm in the role I'm in right now is because I want to be able to pay it forward because I had that opportunity to do that with you. So I got to work on this stuff, which was really cool, but I probably overused the physical, which was unbelievably helpful with my diet, with my nutrition, with running. I was, you know, religiously running a marathon at least one a year. It just gave me an escape and gave me confidence and allowed me to deal with even the other areas, even the other dimensions of resilience, the emotional, the mental, that would sideline me a lot. it helped me become better there, even though I wasn't great at it. Does that answer your question, Tobe? Does that give you a...
That does. That's so good. And I'm glad you, I'll shoot it back to you, Stu, but like, I'm so glad you brought up and the physical part of it. Cause I think we have this belief that it's only that, you know, that I'm strong and I'm built for, you know, the rest of my life and I can handle adversity because I've, you know, I work out every day and I never miss it. And again, I wouldn't hear me loud and clear on that. I think that is a huge, huge component to a lot of how we feel and the dopamine and everything else that physical exercise can do. But the emotional component, the social component, the mental component, those need to be watered as much as our physical, you know, this vessel that carries us around is, you know. And how many of us worked around the most fit people in the world and they are train wrecks? Right. And on the same token, you know, some have really found their center and their groundedness, and they're really doing a lot of those, taking time to meditate and whatever their path might be, but they're really putting the necessary deposits in that. And how strong they really are, they physically maybe aren't where they need to be, but it's, you know, that's why not everybody is so successful in all of this, because it does take a consistent amount of work in a lot of different aspects to truly be resilient in your life. And totally. It's a beautiful challenge, but it's very hard.
Totally. One of our buddies, and I won't name his name, but he used to joke with me. And I actually do think it was a joke, but it was, I mean, it showed up being real. He goes, dude, people don't run that much. You're running away from something. You're running away from something. And I'd be like, shut the fuck. Like, yeah, and he would just be joking. But I like it stung. I'm like, am I running? And hell yeah, I was running away from those other dimensions, my emotional, my mental. Like, now again, it helped me in those places, but because it gave me confidence, but it didn't fix it. It didn't fix it. Like, we had to get really great. It was a lot of work. It's still a lot of work. This isn't like, oh, I'm resilient. Okay.
Mic drop. Me. Yeah.
like there's shit that comes up all the time. And I gotta be like, okay, let's check myself. But the cool thing is when you start to really do the work in this, is the 3 weeks that it took you to recover from that, you know, whatever life throws at you, it now takes like, you know, 3 hours or 3 days or whatever. And you see that progress in yourself. And I think it's important to give yourself grace when you are working on it, too, because it is hard. And I think it's important to give yourself grace in the work and the effort that you are putting into these different dimensions of being resilient.
Those components of resilience now, because now I can't get my head out of that structure. I, you know, Chris, you probably dumped a lot of it into that physical resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, mine was always attached to financial. Mm-hmm. I felt that if I was financially that was the mountain that I had to climb to be worthy, right, of love and worthy of marriage and all those things. And so what's interesting is climbing, you know, having resilience to hit financial goals was hard. It was a ton of work. It was a lot of personal sacrifice. There was a lot of pressure but in my mind, it was all serving these bigger dreams and these bigger goals that I had built. So it was like, it was so acceptable to focus there. Like, everybody at that age group was all about, we're going to do whatever it takes to win, right? And it was easy to kind of just get in the cattle call of, all right, financial resilience is where I'm going to, that's my identity. And I'm going to let physical go, get to 300 pounds, which I was at one point in my life, right? I was going to let the personal and the mental, I would just internalize everything where all the damage started to happen around identity and critical voice started to come in. So because I was winning financially, but mm-hmm. all of those other components were so out of whack that it almost took away the excitement and the value of the financial resilience, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, I got all this money, but I'm miserable. Going back to the con that you walked in, Tobe, around being miserably comfortable. And I think the people that I bump into that are my age or in corporate America in that C-suite, there's a ton of resilience in that financial area. There's a ton of people that are willing to go that extra gear or drop down and put in that extra effort. But would they do it around their mental resilience? Would they do it around their health? And that's, I think, why we're here and why we're talking about this. Because I think what's normal for men specifically men, is to self-sacrifice to the point to get the external results that, you know, that put value on you. I'm going to deplete me, but as long as I've got the country club, I've got the nice house, the nice cars and all those things, then I'm winning. I'm showing the world I'm resilient. Meanwhile, we're miserably, you know, comfortable on the inside. So, you know, for me, it was all those other components were so out of whack. But yet at night I could lay down and say, well, I'm taking care of my family financially, so I must be okay. It's worth it. It's like, at what point is it not? And that's where you go from thriving to surviving when you start asking those questions, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about with you guys around adaptability, you know, like how we handle change, because, you know, that is the constant, I think, that all of us would agree with, is that life, as we all know, will continue to change, and how we handle change. And we work a lot as coaches with people and have done for years about helping them manage and navigate through it all. But I'm just, you know, I think that's adaptability and how one, do they have a technique? Do they walk through it with a certain strategy? Some will say, you know, again, I can survive change and, you know, but I hate it and I don't like it one bit. Really, that speaks to how adaptable are you and do you really know where to focus? I think a lot of people spend a lot of time focused on what's happening to them versus what they can do for themselves. And really, that speaks to adaptability to me. Like, where's your focus on this moment? Is it all of these headwinds and everything this change is, you believe it to mean? And it's typically, you guys know the psychology of change, but those initial first things, you know, you go through anger and fear and denial and all those very, you know, common thing. And you get so fixed to that you immediately then get into this survival mentality. And, to me that, you know, as I was thinking about adaptability as well, it's that moment of like, how many of us know people that really aren't as adaptable to change as they think they are, and they're kind of fooling themselves with it.
Or aren't even interested. Like, they don't even want to, like, have the conversation about it. They just want to stay in their lane, and they're good, right? And, yeah, they won't even accept it. Hey, for me on that, Tobe, we had a podcast on this. We had a podcast on change and a podcast on surrendering. But to me, it's, I don't know, I don't want to get all spiritual, but it's when you start to get really good and do the work, and just realize, like, you have zero control over this life that you have. Like, this shit is going to happen, right? Like, it just is. Yeah. Life is hard, right? The Buddhist principle, life is suffering. And the second one is what? How you handle it is how great your life's going to be, right? So I just think that that means something to me. And that surrendering component, that, like, life is going to happen and people are going to get sick. Like, I'm going to lose people in my family. I'm going to lose money. I'm going to have hardship. Like, that is a part of living, and just accepting that and surrendering to that. Now, how I respond to it, that depends. That creates the life I'm going to live for myself. And having that kind of spiritual kind of understanding for me personally just allows me to just adapt to change so much more, man. Like, you know, and when you start to get, and again, I reference Michael Singer and some of his, you know, his coachings that I've, or teachings that I've listened to, you know, this world's spinning, man. It's spinning, and we're on it for a short ride. I say that, and then we're done, but guess what? It keeps spinning. And it keeps spinning. So, like, it's like, why not focus on how you respond to that? What happens while you're spinning on this thing, and in a positive way and in a non-victim mentality way, and just live the best life you can versus focusing on, oh, this happened to me. Oh, they're out to get me. Oh, you know, it's just, and you know, we've talked about this before. When you're around those people, it's kind of like, I'm going to reposition myself somewhere else. I don't really need to be around. There's not a lot of people that are victims in my org, because I just don't need that to be a part of that. So I just think it has a lot to do with the change and adaptability. Really comes down to doing the work on yourself and how do you really accept it? And do you have to control everything, or are you willing to just surrender to that this is happening and I'm going to focus more on how I deal with it in a very positive frame of reference versus being a victim to it?
hear you saying it. It's like there's also, as the individual going through all of the change and the challenges, we also have a responsibility to define the change and the adversity that we're facing. I think what I have seen, and I've seen this in myself many a time, is that, and to give you an analogy, there's things that hit us in life that are a 50-ton weight, and then there are things that hit us that are a 5-pound bag of sand. And I think the way I see a lot of people reacting the same way to both. And so when you talk about adaptability, I think definition of challenge at a personal level is really important to define what is that 50-ton weight that just hit you. If you lose your parent, you lose somebody that matters, that's a 50-ton weight. That's something that, you know, I don't think anyone's judging you based on your adaptability. However, your car won't start. You have a flat tire and you get ready to go to work and you go out. I've seen people lose their freaking mind over something that's an inconvenience, not something that is a 50-ton weight that's hitting them and taking them off their path. And I think we've led people over the years that have let really small things hold them back from being the best version of themselves. And they talk about, you know, and that's someone's ability to again adapt to the environments that they're navigating. But it comes back to mindset to me. And that closed mindset, every single time, it's a 50-ton weight. Everything that hits you in a closed mindset feels like 50 tons, even if it's as simple as just spilling a little bit of water. But when we're in a healthy mindset, we're in a growth mindset, an open mindset, the reaction to these things is most things are 5-pound bags of sand that bump us that should not take us off our path nearly as easily as we allow them when we are operating at a deficit. So I go back to what Toby said, and I think it's so profound. It's like, you know, and Chris, what you walked through, it's how well we know self, how well we know where we are and how safe we are, right? That we talked about psychological safety. And a lot of times I think we take a 50-ton weight because we feel scared versus having the courage and the pride and the confidence to realize it's just a 5-pound bag of sand coming at our face and we can handle it.
I love that. You used to coach me on that all the time because you used to give me a lot of 5-pound bags of sand and feedback and stuff. And then I get mad at you. You'd be like, bro, this is like a 7.5-pound bag of sand. I'd be like, I don't know. It's like a 12.5-pound, but we'd go back and forth. But you're so right, man. It's where you are and the work you're doing on yourself and the awareness around self about how you can handle that. That is resilience. Like that literally, and that will literally impact. I think about all the times when I took your 5-pound bag of sand and I, you know, went to my office and I had a little pity party for myself. And then I went home and, you know, I was sitting at dinner, you know, or whatever with my family. And I wasn't being a great dad in that moment. Like I'm just sitting there, you know, feeling sorry for myself, probably showing my kids like how you're not supposed to act, you know, like the role model I'm being. And then, you know, Joy would ask me something and I'd be short with her because I'd be frustrated, you know, at this. And by the way, this happened at 11 a.m. that morning and I'm taking it all the way home with me and I'm bitch. And then, you know, hope maybe the next morning I wake up and it's gone. Maybe not. Maybe you call me and triggers it again. And now I'm into 2 days of being, and then Joy's wondering, dude, are you all right? Like, why were you so short with me last night? I'm fine, hon. What do you mean? I wasn't short with you, blah, 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 blah. And you see this, like, it just creates this unbelievable, like, yeah. And then you're in it. And then you're so far in it that you almost have to keep staying in it. Cause you don't have like to be able to have the awareness to say, I'm sorry. Holy cow, hun. It wasn't you. It was this thing at work. It sidetracked me. How many times did that happen? Not very many. I'll speak for myself. Not very many. I was always like, hey, why do you always have to be on me? And blah, blah, blah. And it totally. So it's just, you know, when I think back of that, and that's some of the coaching work we do too, you know, it's like, all right, well, you're going like, let's walk through where this could go. Right. All right. So how long are we going to have and we don't say pity party, but how long are we going to feel like, can we get through this? Why is this showing up? Just so it doesn't create this thing that starts to impact other aspects of your life. And I just look back at that and I don't want to be that guy. Like I want to be the guy that's able to handle that conversation, you know, deal with it, move on, come home, be where my feet are, have dinner with my kids, because I know I'm traveling the next 2 weeks, you know, be present. And that's, if you can start to figure out that's who you want to be, that's some of the resilient coaching that we do. Those, we bring up those moments and try to get you to be, show up as that guy. It's, again, it's not perfect. And I do have pity parties for myself. And I do, you know, when Joy asks me, I probably do snap at her. I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than I used to be, because I just, it's doing the work on yourself. But that's what I think about, Sue, all that, what that 5 pound bag turns into. Guess what? All of a sudden I'm sitting under a 50 pound bag, because it's not just a 5 pound bag you threw at me. It's the, you know, 45 other pound bags that I created for myself by my response. I just don't want to live like that. I hope nobody else does either.
No, I don't think anybody does, but that's why I stress the importance of for self to define what is the adversity coming at you, and how significant is it really? If someone tells you, hey, you showed up like shit in that meeting, right?
Right.
Their intention isn't for that to necessarily be a 50 ton weight. That's course correction. But to your, and I've had the same thing, Chris, happened to me multiple times throughout a 27 year career, where feedback derailed me to the point where I wasn't effective at home, or, you know, at any version of being healthy mentally, physically, financially. But I think, you know, and this is where it comes back to resilience for me, and why maybe I've harped a little bit on environment so much at the beginning around it, resilience. And I think that ties back into this piece of making sure we understand if we're in the rooms that we're meant to be in, and we have to adapt based on the feedback and the challenges that are coming at that room. If I'm in the right room and I've got the right mindset, I can start to see what's coming at me a little clearer. And the men and women in corporate America, or just in life, that do that really well, I think tend to have a step ahead of most in life around this path towards happiness, right? And being able to understand the combination, the power is when you add surrender to this, like you add that word surrender to the definition of 50 ton or 5 pound. Well, if it's a 5 pound, I need to let that shit go, right? That's just a moment. I took what I could from it, move on. When it's a 50 ton weight, that's when that we need to take pause and take stock in what's happening. But I just think there's so many people out there that are so conveniently, easily taken off of their path with that 5 pound bag of sand. Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on in the world right now. We could blame elections. We could blame race challenges, DE&I initiatives. There are so many things that are out there that are easy for us to point to say, that's what's holding me back. And what I think, some of those things do hold people back, but I do believe the intentionality behind defining what is getting in our way, and can we overcome it? More often than not, we can. Not everything's 50 tons. I get fired up.
That's very well said. Yeah. Well, I think you've articulated for us, like, you name it. Because I keep wanting to get kind of a, what do you do, or what's some prescriptives for us, you know, that you guys have just done a great job of talking about your own journeys in this space. And I know that, you know, an invitation, I think most people know what they should do. Yeah. But will they do something differently? How they handle change, and how they, you know, are resilient through it all. Naming it is great. I think surrender, what a wonderful point you just made. I think then it also, and I heard you say that third piece of it, the mindset, Stu, that growth, you know, mindset. So I just, you know, it all sounds good, but so what, you know, give me a nugget or two. Like what do you do? Cause it might be just that. It might just be a calling a timeout, taking a breath and just naming it, surrendering to it, and then trying to take a, what can I learn in this moment? I think those are going to be really, really good steps. Not to steal any of your guys', maybe you guys would say those are good enough, but like, what do you think when it comes to this and what you've said?
Hey, mine's just all feelings, but like, it's always been, I'm a feel guy. So and it goes back to naming that feeling though, Tobe, and that's what you've helped me do. And it's not just like, well, I'm sad. Well, okay. like, what's the secondary emotion for that, right? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Are you like, what's the second? And really feeling the why behind them, that emotion's getting created. And is there fear? Is it? And once I'm able to identify the emotion and get down to the really the why, well, you know what? Stu doesn't think I'm good for this job. Is that what he said? No. Or is that how you interpreted it? Oh, well, because I know Stu and I know what he thinks about you in this job or whoever, your boss, whoever, right? So how about we maybe check in on that? Let's just, for shits and giggles, let's just check in on it. Because why attach all this negative feeling and emotion to it and kind of have it sideline you when that's not even what was said? So, hey, can you shoot an email or can you do this? And you would always kind of task me to go just validate it. Is that really what's going on here? And I think that just that curiosity. So it starts with the feeling. It starts with kind of understanding the feeling. And then it gets to the curiosity and the validation of that feeling. And, you know, again, and there's times, Stu, you're right. Like, to your point, like, no, yeah, you suck at your job. And there were times that happened, right? And it's like, okay, well, now what do I do? Well, now I get to work. I know where I am. And now I'm going to help you get to work, and I'm going to help you figure out what it is you need to do to fix it. And let's get to work. And that's really all you can control at that point. So focus on that, right? So that's a lot, but it's kind of feeling, identifying it and kind of working, validating it, and then figuring it out from there. But a lot of times during that validation part, man, it was like, no, dude, what are you, a dummy? You're awesome. You're this, you're that. And it wasn't anything that I was thinking of. So.
That's great.
What about you, buddy?
I'm having to deploy resilience. If I'm having to, if it's something that is a constant feeling, I'm getting very curious about the room I'm in. Mm. Meaning, if I'm having to deploy those components of resilience that you walk through on a regular basis, I need to take stock to find out why. Why? I don't believe, you know, I think there was a period in my life where I felt like that pressure to perform and that pressure to always do better was always present. And there's moments like that. But to live like that for years upon years, I would just say get very curious. I think that's when you're starting to bump up against ideal path. And maybe we may be off the path a little bit. So for me, when I feel like I'm constantly battling tension, headwinds for a prolonged period of time, and I'm talking like years, I'm not talking like a couple of weeks, it feels like it's hard, but I'm living in a state where I'm constantly feeling less than and having to overcome, I need to get curious about where that less than is coming from. And that's through getting feedback. That's through asking questions. That's getting feedback around strengths and weaknesses, me asking about how I'm responding emotionally, but being very curious if resilience is something that's constantly showing up. And then the second thing, Tobe, is really going back to what I said, and that's naming the adversity and really defining what is coming my way, and realizing that there are going to be moments where there are going to be things that come my way where I'm going to need to deploy my whole network of support. There are some things that come my way that I need to have, again, I've used this term before, silent resolve. I need to be able to resolve this tension within myself, because it's a small piece of the puzzle. It's not the biggest piece. And I need to be able to alter and be able to weigh those out effectively to know what's the appropriate amount of emotion that this challenge deserves. And if it's a 5-pound bag, we shouldn't be losing sleep at night, right? We should be curious about it, but it shouldn't be weighing us down to the point where we're not effective. The only other thing, and Chris, you said this, is the power for me is always in the ability to reframe the situation. When I have the maturity and I have the confidence to hit pause and reframe the moment or the question or the feedback, to your point, does Stu really not believe in me? Of course he believes in me. He's just upset. But that point of being able to truly understand that and to take that time to reframe the perspective, man, that has been the most powerful tool in the last probably 5 years of my adult life, is just realizing that I may not be 100% accurate in how I'm seeing shit. And that asking the question a different way just gives me internally, within my space, the opportunity to have a challenging conversation about me with me. by the way of reframing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that, those are the three things for me is understanding why I'm deploying resilience constantly and why. The second one being, how do I define the headwinds that are coming my way? Are they a 50-ton weight or are they 5 pound? And then lastly is the power of reframing the pressure that I'm feeling, a way to look at it through a different angle to potentially have a different reaction.
Brilliant.
And not to give us a plug, but that, I mean, you need, sometimes you need help with that.
You just do.
And whether it's a coach or a therapist or a best friend or whatever, you know, and, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times is, you know, we're not very open to and vulnerable to say, hey, I just had this conversation with my boss. He thinks I suck or this or that. So sometimes a coach is a good person to bounce that off with because he create that psychologically safe space and so on and so forth. And I just want to reiterate, like, that's why I'm done so much work on myself because of that reframing. Because when you're in that moment, man, you're not reframing shit. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, unless you really have done the work on yourself, let me speak for me. I'm super emotional. So I just keep going down and I create this storm that wasn't even there. And once I'm in there, yeah, I'm screwed. Right. So to have someone create that space for me, that space between stimulus and to just ground me in that moment and just give me something else to think about other than the storm I'm in is just, it was everything for me.
Well, we catastrophize everything. You know that, totally. Like most people do, right? And how many times have we heard that in absence of information, people don't make up great stories about our own abilities, about what's happening in the environment around us, about what our boss thinks of us. And without that, without curiosity, without a willingness and a vulnerability, Chris, to your point, to lean in and ask the question, you know, people then get stuck and people go down those holes, like you said, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in the wrong direction. And then they're not very resilient and certainly not adaptable. So just to circle it back to that. And, you know, I think most people will survive their lives, but, you know, there are different levels of adaptability and resilience. And I think that there's some work to be done on everybody's part.
One last point, Chris, and we can kick it back to you and we can wrap us up for today. But, you know, you said something that was really that stuck out to me just a minute ago, Weiss, and that was, you know, I think a lot of times we manufacture our own dragons, right? We create our own monsters that we need to go out and slay. And this topic is an area that I tended to do that, where taking that 5 pound, you know, because whatever my self-esteem or self-value, taking that 5 pound weight that hit me and mentally turning it into a 50 ton. So I go out and create this moment where I'm the hero for myself and I slay that 5 pound bag acting like it's a 50 ton dragon, right? And there's a lot of us out there that maybe are looking for attention in different ways. And sometimes we land on these emotional reactions or we're easily thrown off our path because of these subtle challenges that we face. And I had to ask myself a lot, like, is this dragon real or are you manufacturing? Are you creating this problem and what are you getting out of it? Right. So, you know, when I don't want to be adaptable or I don't want to be resilient, there's a great question in there for me personally, which is why, what am I gaining from not being resilient in this moment? What am I gaining from not changing my mindset around adaptability? Right. And I just, when I'm at my lowest, man, I will conjure up the demons of the dark ages to come just for me to go slay, to have purpose. And I see a lot of C-suite men with a lot of pressure on them and a lot of need to validate who they are and why they are. Sometimes can generate some of these dragons that are completely unnecessary and more importantly, diminish who they are. And so I just want to make sure I share that because I've been that, I've done that. I've done that to get empathy and sympathy from others because I was feeling uncomfortable in my own skin at that moment. And so going back to that groundedness where we started, to get back, where is this coming from? What are driving some of these insecurities is the best tool that we can possibly have in our back pocket in these moments of fear.
Love it, man. Thanks for sharing this. And again, just another, you know, plug. We're building up a program that we're going to dive really, really deep into these different dimensions. This is just one of the tenets that we're going to be working. So more to come on that. But thanks for this discussion, guys. Really appreciate it. And hey, thank you for joining us on the path today. Remember, every journey is unique and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring, stay curious, and give yourself grace as you forge your path. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path. Have a great day.